Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top line of Daf Ayin Hey. Before we learn the Gemara itself, let's just glance at one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system, and that feature is the Nosei, the topic heading that appears in the outside margin as each new sugya or discussion arises. In this case, we have written Dugma Shel Bal Chai HaMekabel Tuma, an example of a living creature that receives, that absorbs tuma. And we'll be talking about tumas ochlim. In general, other than a Jewish person who is alive, living creatures, all animals, while alive, don't absorb tuma. We will see an exception to that, something that is alive and kicking, and yet it's considered a food item already. Let us just recall that we're in the midst of quite a lengthy discussion covering numerous dapim of Gemara concerning cases where an animal that was pregnant was slaughtered and there was found inside a fetus. And generally speaking, in almost all the cases, the fetus doesn't need its own shechita. It's included in the shechita of the mother. There is one case that we have come across where there is a 9-month pregnancy, a live fetus found inside a shechted, a slaughtered animal. We saw a machlokes tanoim concerning that case. But other than that, generally speaking, the fetus is considered part of the mother, and the shechita done to the mother covers the fetus. Let us now continue in the Gemara from the top line at the end of the line, man tano. Who is the author of the following source which indicates that the animal will absorb tuma even though it's alive? It says, Ovar benor huchshar. If the animal, and we're talking about an animal that grew as after its mother had been shechted, and this was found inside alive. This animal then developed and took a swim in the river. The wetness on the animal was considered the hechsher lekabel tuma. Holach lebeis hakvoros nitma. And then when this animal goes to a cemetery, the cemetery being a place of tuma, the animal absorbs the tuma. So who would say such a thing? The basic idea here is that even though it's alive, it's mekabel tuma. We should just point out that the term huchshur is a concept that applies to tumas ochlin, that food does not become tomei unless, even though it itself is exposed to some form or source of tuma, unless the food has been huchshar, and that means it became wet with one of several different types of liquids. The classic case is water. So, without further detail, let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe Yossi Haglilihi. We had asked who is the author of this source we just learned, which reflected that a living thing could absorb tuma, and we're talking about tumas ochlin, the tuma that's characteristic of food. This is in accordance with Rebbe Yossi Haglili. Disanya, we have the following source, and it goes without saying that sections of Gemara that you see in frames are Tanaic sources. This, of course, we're familiar with from having studied the Learn the System method of our markings. So this Tanaic source reads, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Haglili. We've dashed under the line Rabbi Yossi Haglili because we indicated that he is the source of the above-mentioned Tanaic source. it was said in Rabbi Yossi Galili's name, Metame Tumas Ochlin, a Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua is the fetus found inside a slaughtered mother that continues to live and develops. Metame Tumas Ochlin, Vitzorach Hechsher. It could absorb Tumas Ochlin, provided it received Hechsher. And here we have to point out that it's clear that he holds that it's a separate entity. In other words, even though the mother was slaughtered, the fetus requires its own hechsher. And that Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, v'tzor hechsher, detrei gufi ninhu. They're considered two separate entities, so that even though the shechita of the mother may have been a hechsher for the mother for that to mekabel tumah, it did not serve as a hechsher for the offspring, or for this fetus that now developed and is walking around on its own. Almol Rabbi Yosi Aglili, metame mechaim. We see from here that a living cow, a living creature, is mekabel tumah. Rashi goes on to say, "Ukirabonan demasnisin lo ukma." The above source with the animal that took the ben pekur that took a swim is not set up like the rabonan of our Mishnah. V'neimo lididhu kibisra v'dikula damya, and say that according to them, the fetus whose mother was shechted, which in effect is an effective matir allowance for this fetus. The Kosovar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan, who introduced Rabbi Yosei Glili, he happens to hold Afilu Rabbonon de Pligi ad Rabbi Yosei Glili betuma Sviruluk Rabbonon de Masnisin b'shchita Afilu Hochi lo metame mipnei shu chai. The Rabbonon who we are referring to holds that a living thing will not mekabel tuma. That's as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, and therefore the only shita that would say that a living thing is mekabel tuma is Rabbi Yosi Haglili. The source goes on with the other opinion, v'chachomim omrim, eino metame tumas ochlim ibnei shu chai. Something that is living does not absorb tumas ochlim, the tuma characteristic of food. V'chol shu chai eino metame tumas ochlim. Anything that's alive doesn't absorb this kind of tuma. The Ozda Rabbi Yochanan Litamei, Rabbi Yochanan in saying that Rabbi Yosi Haglili holds that a living thing is Mekabel Tumah, is consistent with what Rabbi Yochanan has said elsewhere, namely, Rabbi Yosi Haglili Ubei Shamai Omru Dover Echad. Rabbi Yochanan has been known to say that Rabbi Yosi Haglili and Bei Shamai say the same thing, they hold of each other's idea or principle. Rabbi Yosi Haglili hold Amoran. We already stated Rabbi Yosi Haglili. That was in the context of the Ben Pekua, the fetus found inside the live fetus found inside the slaughtered mother, and Rabbi Yosi Haglili said it's mekabel tuma. And Beis Shammai, the source containing Beis Shammai is now in the following framed section. In this section, we will see three Tanaic opinions, but for our immediate purposes, we want to focus on Beis Shammai. The source features fish. It says, Dogim meimosai mekablam tuma. Fish, from what point do they absorb tuma? Are they susceptible to absorbing tuma? Beis Shammai omrim mishiyotsudu, from the point they're captured. Now, that they're caught in a net, for example.
They're alive. They're quite alive. They're simply caught in a net. But according to Beis Shammai, this is enough to categorize them or render them oichlin, and hence they are now subject to Kabbalah's tuma. So that parallels Rabbi Yosi Haglili's approach.
Two more opinions. Beis Hillel Omer, Mishia Musu, fish are mekabel tuma only from the point they die. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Misha She'ein Yecholim Lichios, from the point they cannot continue living. In other words, according to Rabbi Kiva, they are still alive, but it's a point at which they won't continue living. The Gemara asks, "Mai binayhu? What's the difference between Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva? When, after all is said and done, according to both of them, fish are mekabel tuma when they are still alive. So, what's the difference? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, dag mekartea ika binayhu. if you have a fish that's mikartea, Rashi uses the expression mifarper. It's flexing or jumping around. And Rashi adds ukigon shiyovish boy kesela bein snapirov. That a sela is a coin of a specific size. That size of a skin surface of the fish has become dry, ubein snapirov, between its fins. When that happens, when it reaches that level of, when it becomes dry on that area of its body, the su lo chai, it won't continue living. In other words, right now it is alive, but it already has experienced a phenomenon that indicates it won't continue living. So that would be the point of difference, and we'll spell that out. According to Rabbi Akiva, once it reaches that, let us be more accurate, according to Beis Shammai, it will mekabel tuma at that point. According to Rabbi Akiva, And using the explanation of Tosfos, we have to add that you could conceivably throw it back into the water if it's mefarper. I'm not sure that Tosfos is adopting the explanation we saw in Rashi, but according to the Tosfos, if it's mefarper, but it could continue living if you were to throw it back into the sea. Therefore, at this point, it would still not mekabel tuma. So, to review that, according to the Shammai, a fish that's mefarper is mekabel tuma because it's already been caught. According to Rabbi Akiva, using the Tosfos's pshat, since you could throw it back into the sea, it could continue living. And therefore, it hasn't reached the stage of mishal she'ein yochol lichyos. It could be that according to Rashi, that he said, Rashi indicated that it can no longer live, it would mean that at what point, according to Rabbi Akiva, would it start being mekabel tuma? And that's a point that it becomes dry, a sela size on its skin between the fins. That would be the shah she'ein yochol lichyos. But if it's simply mefarper, but hasn't achieved that dryness, so according to Rabbi Akiva, it would not mekabel tuma. Continuing in the Gemara, actually before we do that, we should just glance at the outside margin, the Tatnosei, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, Shedag mekabel tuma, Mishal Sheinu Yechol Lichyos. According to Rabbi Akiva, that a fish absorbs tuma, or is a candidate for tuma absorption, from the point it can no longer live. Ma dino shel dag shenolad bo simone trefus haim makabel tuma. Let's say you have a fish that one of its vital organs became punctured, which would be a sign of trefus. What is the din regarding kabbalas tuma? Do we say that since it developed a sign of trefus, that is equal to a sha'o she'eno yochol lichyos? So now, turning to the Gemara. Boi Rav Chista, noldu bedogim simone trefus mal. We should also point out that we are embarking on a long question. This is illustrated by the long question marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you see a shin that's encircled, the shin representing she'et la, with a descending vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines constitute the question. So Rav Chista asks, if a fish developed signs of trefus, as we mentioned, let us say its stomach developed a hole in it. Tiboy lemandomer trefo choya, v'tiboy lemandomer trefo eino chaya. This question can be posed according to two opinions regarding the general category of trefo. There are two conceptions or schools of thought regarding treifa. One holds that an animal that's a treifa, yechola lichyos, can continue living. In other words, the fact that it has treifas is not an indication that its death is in the balance. There is another opinion that says that a treifa eino choya, that a treifa will die. In other sukkis, we see the idea of 12 months, that within 12 months, it will die. So the question regarding the fish and signs of treifas, is that equal to what Rabbi Akiva called shah she'eno yochol lichyos? And therefore, it would be makabel tuma. So the Gemara now elaborates. What we've done with our markings is we've dashed underlined the two schools of thought as they're focused upon. Tiboy lemadom treifo chaya. Let us pose this question according to the opinion that says a treifa does continue living. Well, we can say like this: behema hu denafisha chiyusa, a land animal. An animal, a cow, a sheep, which is said to have a lot of life to it. That nefisha means a lot of chiyus of life to it. There's a certain perception that animals are considered having more life to them than fish. Fish, once they are put on dry land, they die. They inevitably die. So that's an indication that they have less life to them. So we say as follows: it could be that a behemo, which has this extra amount of life to it, then we say treifo chaya, aval dogim delo nefisha chiyusayu, but fish that have less life to them than animals, once it develops a sign of treifus, lo, then we don't say treifo chaya. So once again, even though in general we hold treifa chaya, that's true with regard to animals. But with regard to fish, we would say it's as if it's dead, and therefore it would makabel tuma as food. Oy dilma, afilu lemandom er treifa eino chaya. On the other hand, it could be that even according to the mandom, the opinion that holds a treifa does not live, hani mili behema diyesh bemino treifus. There we say the treifa phenomenon is of great concern, because within the realm of behemos, treifa really makes a difference in terms of kashrus. Namely, if a behema is a treifa, it's forbidden to be eaten. Aval dogim she'ein de'ein b'minon treifus. However, with regard to fish, that even in the event that a fish a vital organ develops a hole in it, it doesn't affect the kashrus of the fish. The fish is still said to be kosher. So it could be that with regard to fish, that ein b'minon treifus, emo lo. Then I would say that treifus is not a sign of imminent death. Once again, even though I may hold with regard to animals treifa eino chaya, with regard to fish, we would not go so far as to say that the treifa is considered as if it's dead. And if you emphasize that approach, then it will not mekabel tuma, because it's considered chai. It hasn't reached what Rabbi Akiva termed shah she'ein yochol lichyos. So the Gemara says, teku, in other words, the whole issue of noldubo simoni treifus with regard to fish, and does that indicate that they are now subject to kabbalas tuma according to Rabbi Akiva, this issue remains unanswered. Now we have a new discussion. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara is indicated by our nosei, Din Chelev Shel Nefel, Machlokes Rabbi Yishlokish Rabbi Yochanan. If an animal miscarries, a Nefel, it's a miscarriage, what is the din with regard to the Chelev of such a fetus? It's the miscarriage. We mentioned the word chelev. For those of you who are not familiar with this idea or this issue of chelev, though we've mentioned it in previous shiurim, chelev are is a part of sections of an animal, membranes or fats found inside the animal, that one has to have a tradition on which sections we're talking about. But once you are able to identify those sections, they carry with it, if one were to eat it, a penalty of kores, a very severe form of punishment. In other words, a severe offense for if one eats chelev. We want to know regarding the chelev of a nefel. Hitilo nefel. Rabbi Yochanan Omar chelbo kechelev behema. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who's the first of two opinions, Reish Lakish shortly will disagree, Rabbi Yochanan holds that the chelev of a nefel, of this miscarriage, is viewed as chelev of a regular animal, and hence it carries with it a penalty of kores. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omar chelbo kechelev chayo. Now here we have to be careful. We're not going to be offering an exact translation, but for the time being, we'll say that the chelev, according to Reish Lakish, does not carry with it a chelev penalty. Rather, it would be no difference than the chelev of a chayah that simply dropped dead, and it would have a din of nevela. We should point out that a chayah is an undomesticated kosher variety animal. The chelev of a chayah is not punishable by kores, as is the case with chelev of a domesticated kosher variety animal, a behemoth. So if you have a nefel, well, look, the nefel didn't have shechita done to it. So it's, according to Reish Lakish, it's not any better than a case of simple nevela. A chayah nevela is also is forbidden to eat, but the chelev of a chayah doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. And now the Gemara elaborates. Rabbi Yochanan Omar chelbo kechelev behema. The chelev of the miscarriage is like that of a behema and carries with it a kores penalty. Avira gorim, the exposure to the air, to the world, in other words, its exit from the mother's body, creates the shame behema, categorizes the fetus as a behema. Reb Shimon Alkish Omar, chelbo kechelev chaya. Chadoshim garmi. Chadoshim, full-term pregnancy. Chadoshim, literally, months. In other words, it has to have, in order for the creature to receive the category, or be part of the category of behema, it would have to have experienced a full-term pregnancy. But here we have a miscarriage. Therefore, it's not categorized as a behema with a kores penalty. Iko di Amri, another version, and we could have pointed out a little earlier, we have a Roman numeral 1 and 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating two versions of presenting Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So here's another version. Iko di Amri, kol hecha delo kolu lo chadoshav lo klum hu. According to everybody, if it hasn't completed its full term of pregnancy, so it's nothing, meaning it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ki pligi hecha dehoishit yodoi lemei behemo v'tolash chelev shel ben teisha chai v'ochal. The machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, involves a totally different scenario. It's hoishit yodo, he extended his arm, lemei behemo, to the interior of a pregnant animal, v'tolash chelev, and he disconnected or ripped out chelev of shel ben teisha chai v'ochal, of the embryo that had reached a full term pregnancy, and he cut away the chelev of that fetus and ate it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar chelbo kechelev behema. This ripped out chelev from the still pregnant, still internal fetus carries with it a kores penalty. Chadoshim garmi, the months, the full term that it in fact has experienced, creates or categorizes it as a behema. And that entails a kores penalty for eating its chelev. Rav Shimon Lakish Omar chelbo kechelev chaya. Chadoshim ve'avira garmi. According to Reish Lakish, you need to have two factors. You need to have months, and exposure and emergence into the world, the avira, the air. As we go on in the Gemara, we want to take note of the fact that there are two versions of the question that the Gemara wants to raise. These two versions are indicated by an Aleph and Beis. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. When the second version arises, you will see an Iko Diamri in the middle of the line, which is squiggle underline, as in fact we did the previous Iko Diamri. We use this squiggle underline to indicate alternatives. And this will be an alternative Lashon when we get to it. So now, the first version has Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan L'Rav Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is posing a question to Reish Lakish. It could be noted that in the second version, it's Reish Lakish posing the question to Rabbi Yochanan. In both cases, the question is presented based on the same Tanaic source. So now, the first version. Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, we have a Tanaic source. And the topic of the source is of a dealing with sacrifices. And it says, Ma chelev u'shtei klois hamurus ba'osham moitse mechlal shliel, when the Torah speaks about an osham type sacrifice. It should be pointed out that an osham is brought from a male sheep. An osham is from a male sheep, an ayal, very often. When the Torah speaks about the osham innards being offered, it talks about the chelev and the shtei kloyos of an osham. The shtei kloyos being two kidneys, and the chelev of the osham are offered on the altar, are put in the fire, and burnt as the offering to Hashem. The meat of the osham is eaten by the kohanim. So when the Torah speaks about the chelev and shtei kloyos of an osham, it speaks about it with having in mind the exclusion of an embryo. That's moitzei miklal shliel. There is no, the chelev and the shtei kloyos of the shliel are not offered. Just bearing in mind that the osham itself can't even have a shliel because it's a male animal, shliel being the embryo. It can't have that. Nevertheless, we learn from the osham that just like the Torah reference to osham is to the exclusion of the fetus's chelev, af kol motse michlal shliel. So to all other sacrifices, even those that do have a shliel possibility, that have female korbanos, very simply stated, there too the Torah is interested in only the mother's chelev and shtei kloyos being offered, and not that of the shliel. So Rabbi Yochanan continues, Bishlomo l'didi, things work out well according to me, that the shliel is viewed as a regular behemoth, namely the chelev of the shliel carries with it a kores penalty just like that of a regular behemoth. Hainu de'itzterich krolim uti. Therefore, I need the pasuk to reveal something that I might not have thought on my own, namely that the chelev of the shliel is not to be offered, namely, even though I categorize the shliel, or even though the shliel is to be categorized as a behemoth with regard to the severity of the chelev, nevertheless, when it comes to offering its innards as part of the sacrificial offering, the Torah says, don't offer it, the shliel chelev. But according to Reish Lakish, that the chelev of the shliel is not even considered real chelev. In other words, it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. Amai itzrich, what do you even need the pasuk to bother excluding the chelev of the shliel from offering, from hakrova? It's so obvious according to you. Omar lay, so Reish Lakish answers, you should know, Taimo didi nami mehacha. In fact, I developed my approach from this very source. I see in this source that the chelev of the shliel is excluded. Therefore, I came to a conclusion from this very source that the chelev of the shliel is of lesser significance or lesser severity, and hence it does not carry with it a kores penalty. V'iko d'amri. Now, an opposite version of the same discussion. Esve, Reb Shimon Lakish, Reb Yochanan. And here, Reb Shimon Lakish is taking the offensive. And the same source, with dealing with the Osham, it says, Ma chelev u'shtei klois u'amuros ba'osham, moitzi michlal shliel. Just like in the case of an Osham, the Torah is excluding the offering of the chelev and the shtei klois of the fetus. As we said, the Osham is a male animal and there is no fetus. Af kol moitzi michlal shliel. So too, with regard to all other sacrifices, including female sacrifices that may be pregnant, the chelev and the shliel of those sacrifices, of the shliel of those sacrifices is not offered. The shliel, once again, is the fetus. Bishlam Oladidi, says Reish Lakish, who is asking the question, according to me, that the chelev of the shliel is not considered full-fledged chelev, mishomachi mi'ate rachmona, therefore the Torah excludes it from being offered. Eladidcha, but according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, who views the chelev of the shliel as being full-fledged chelev, likrav, so it should be offered when you're dealing with the embryo or the fetus of a sacrifice. Just like in regular sacrifices, you offer the chelev, you put it on the altar, so the chelev of the shliel should be done, offered just as well. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Midi dehave amachuser zman. This can be parallel to another situation involving sacrifices. Mechuser zman means it's premature or lacking, not in terms of fetal a state of being in a fetal state, but an animal, for example, an animal, if once it's born under regular circumstances, it is not to be offered as a sacrifice until it's 8 days old. If you were to take an animal and offer it on the fifth day of its life, that's premature. That's called mechuser zman. Therefore, even though it's clear that the chelev of a five-day-old animal is totally forbidden, nevertheless, it's not accepted as a sacrifice. So using that as a precedent, we see cases of something that's totally forbidden and not acceptable to be offered. Similarly, with regard to the chelev of the shliel, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's totally forbidden, carrying with it a kores penalty, but nevertheless, it is not something that's subject to being offered on the altar. The Gemara continues discussing cases of fetuses, but it's a new discussion, and hence we have a slash mark right before this, just like when we introduced the new section above, we also have a slash mark, and we also have a topic heading for this piece of Gemara, HaShochet Es HaTrefa U'motza Bo Ben Teisha Chai. Here, the new factor is a trefa is being slaughtered. That means we're slaughtering a mother animal, and the mother animal we discover to have some type of organ imperfection, a hole in its lung, and we also find inside the mother a live, full-term fetus, 9-month fetus. Omar Rebbe Ami, HaShochet Es HaTrefa U'motza Bo Ben Teisha Chai. L'divrei Ha'oser Matir. L'divrei Hamatir Oser. This sounds a little cryptic, but with a glance at Rashi, we will decipher what is being said. So Rashi, you'll see in the lower part of the page, in the middle of the wide lines at the bottom, L'divrei Ha'oser Ben Tishochai Bekshera. A case where you slaughtered a kosher, meaning a non-trefa, an acceptable mother. You found inside of it a full-term live fetus. There is an opinion, and we saw Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah that says you cannot eat the Ben Teisha Chai based on the mother's having been slaughtered. Ad shishchetenu, Rashi says, until you slaughter it. In other words, the fetus, when it reaches 9 months and it's alive, it is considered a separate entity from the mother. Hence it needs its own shechita. Therefore, the shechting of the trefa is of no relevance to the Ben Teisha Chai. So this first opinion is called the Divrei Ha'oser, the one who would forbid the fetus in a regular case until it receives its own shechita, matir, the word matir means that this, the fetus of the trefa, will be allowed to be eaten when you shecht it. Being that it has its own identity, according to this opinion, being that it has its own identity, it has its own shechita. And therefore, the fact that the mother was shechted and the shechita on the mother is ineffective because she's a trefa, that doesn't represent any setback to the fetus. However, there's another opinion, l'divrei hamatir, the other opinion, that namely that of the Chachomim, that says that when a regular kosher non-trefa mother is shechted and you find in it a ben teshachai, it's considered having been shechted already because the shechit of the mother covers it. According to that opinion, oser, in this case, when the mother turns out to be a trefa, the shechita of the mother, trefa, is ineffective with regard to enabling one to eat it because it is a trefa. Therefore, you used up all your cards. There is no longer any more shechita available. Because according to this opinion, the shechita of the mother always encompasses the vlad. And since the mother's shechita in this case was of no eating value, therefore you lose out on the fetus. Rashi even adds another point, that according to this approach, that says that in general, when a mother is shechted, it covers the fetus as well. In this case, that the mother is a trefa, the fetus is viewed, as we do in general, as a limb of the mother, and as such, a limb of a trefa is not to be eaten. Rava Omar. Now, Rava disagrees, and he says, L'divrei hamatir, even according to the Chachomim, that the shechita of a kosher mother that's pregnant covers the vlad, that's matirs the vlad, nami mutar, in this case, when you have the vlad of a trefa, it has its own chance of becoming mutar if you shecht it separately. Now, you'll ask, but the mother was shechted and the mother was a trefa, and according to this approach, the shechita of the mother covers the vlad. To this we answer, arba simonim achshir bei rachmona. Four neck organs, two and two, are available, and we'll elaborate. We have said that the shechita of the mother covers the vlad. That's because we say the two neck organs of the mother count also for the fetus, according to this opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim. But when they develop their opinion that the neck organs of the mother cover the fetus, they're not saying that to the exclusion of the fetus's own neck organs, the neck organs, the trachea and esophagus. So we're not coming, according to Rava's approach, we're not coming to exclude the neck organs of the fetus. And therefore, if in the event that the neck organ slaughter of the mother was ineffective, as is the case when the mother is a trefa, you still have the availability of the fetus's neck organs to be slaughtered, and hence it could be allowed, it could be mutter. Omar Rav Chisda, Hashochet es ha-trefa, umotzovo ben teshachai. A similar case, you slaughtered a pregnant mother, and she turned out to be a trefa. You find inside of this a full-term live fetus. Ta'un shechita, the fetus requires its own shechita. The shechita of the mother having been ineffective for eating, therefore the fetus will require its own shechita. V'chayov bezrua uchayva keva, and the sections of slaughtered common animals that are generally given to Kohanim as a Kohen gift, and that involves the arm, the l'chayim is part of the jaw, and the keva, the stomach. Those sections of this ben teisha chai will be given to the Kohen. V'im meis tohor milatame v'masa. And if it drops dead, in other words, you didn't slaughter it, it will communicate tumas nevela. A nevela is metame b'masa. Masa means by, even if you don't have actual physical bodily contact with it, but if you carry it or support it, it also is metame. That's tumas masa. The Gemara now goes over these points and wants to see if there is consistency in the things that have been said over here. Omale Rabo. Rabo, in reacting to what Rav Chisda just said, number one, Ton Shchita Keman, the fact that you're requiring it to receive Shchita, that is in accordance with whom? Rabbi Meir. That's in line with Rabbi Meir that says the Shchita of the mother is of no consequence with regard to the Ben Teshachai. True, in this case, the mother turned out to be a trefa, but that does not prevent the Vlad from having its own Shechita, because even in the case where the mother is a Kshera, and the Shechita was effective for the mother, it does not cover the Vlad. So this is in line with Rabbi Meir, that views the Ben Teshachai as a separate entity. Then Rav Chisda said, in number three, the Imeis Tohor Milatame B'Maso. If it drops dead, it does not communicate Tumas Nevela. The fact that it does not communicate Tumas Nevela indicates that it was already halachically viewed as slaughtered. And we should point out that the slaughtering of an animal that turns out to be a trefa also does not have with it Tumas Masa.
It is not mitameh. So when you look at this Vlad, this Ben Teshachai, that, let us say, drop dead, and you tell me that it doesn't have Tumas Masa, come on, who would say that?
Well, that's Kirabonan.
That sounds like the other authority that says that the Shechita of the mother was effective for this fetus, and even though it continues living, it's considered halachically as if it already experienced Shechita. That is a problem. Namely, Rabba points out that Rav Chisda's teaching is of a split nature. On the one hand, he teaches according to Rabbi Meir, that views the Vlad as a separate entity. On the other hand, in Halacha number 3, he views the Vlad as being part of the mother. Now, Rav Chisda responds to Rabba, and he says, "Uleta'amech, according to you, that you're asking on me, on the grounds of inconsistency, Hadatani Rabbi Chia. Well, what about Rabbi Chia's Tanaic source? Hashochet es hatrefo masabah ben teshachai. The same scenario. You slaughtered a trefo mother, found in it a live, full-term pregnancy fetus. Ta'un shchita. V'chayov bezroa l'chayim v'keva. And the imeis tohor milatame b'maso. That's the source. Ton shchito keman, Rabbi Meir. The requirement of shchita would be in lines with Rabbi Meir. The shchita of the vlad of this fetus. The imeis tohor milatame b'maso k'rabbonan. And if it drops dead, it doesn't carry with it tumas nevela. That would be in accordance with the rabbonan. So, couldn't you say that Rav Chia's source is inconsistent? So to this, Rabo responds, Ho lo kashya. Rabbi Chia, im kvar motzoi meis ko'omar. Rabbi Chia was talking about a case where the mother that was slaughtered, that turned out to be a trefa, is a case where the vlad, the fetus you found inside, was already dead. And the whole source is in accordance with
Rebbe Meir. And it's, therefore, it's not a split or inconsistent source. The Rashi, at the beginning of the narrow lines of commentary, he says, Kvar motso meis, b'mei imoi ko'omar. The source was saying that you found it to have been already dead inside of its mother. V'kula Rabbi Meir omra, the whole source is in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The Moda Rabbi Meir, b'ben teisha meis, Rabbi Meir agrees that when you slaughter a mother animal and you find in it a dead 9-month pregnancy fetus, Tishchitas imoi matiroso, that in general, if the mother turns out to be kosher, the vlad can be eaten based on the shchita of the mother. The vlad in that case is part of the mother, just like its leg. Vze shimo trefo hi mitaroso mide nevelo keachod meavoreha. In this case, where the mother turned out to be a trefa, the shchita of the mother, even though it doesn't lead to its being eaten because it's a trefa, it nevertheless precludes tumas nevela from setting in. So that's what's meant in halacha number 3, v'imeis tohar milatame b'masa. Continuing in the Gemara, and this is Rabba in continuing his question on Rav Chisda. He says, Elo liditcha kasha, but your teaching, where you didn't answer kvar motzo meis, which was designed to explain that in meis tohar minatame b'masa, and being that in that case the shechit of the mother covered it, even according to Rabbi Meir, but you didn't say that. Omale, so Rav Chisda says, Ledidinami lo kasha. According to me as well, there is no question. Dalad simonim achshir be rachmona. And Rashi explains that, according to Rav Chisda, the source is Aliba the Rabbanan. And we glance at the Rashi, Dalad simonim, v'kulo k'rabbanan, the whole source is in the spirit or in accordance with the Rabbanan. Umodu Rabbanan dinvo l'shochto shochet, and the Rabbanan can see that if you come to shecht it, the vlad, you could do that, and in mo'il lo, and the shechita of the vlad will be effective. The lo amrinon shochet v'yomid hu, and we don't say that once the mother is shechted, that automatically makes the vlad as if it has been shechted. But rather, as we explained before, if for some reason the shechita of the mother was ineffective, the shechita of the vlad can still be activated. So, as far as Rabba's objection to Rav Chisda, if we go over that again, Rabba had said that the fact that it says Tol and Shchita sounded like it was going according to Rabbi Meir, and the fact that it, if it dies, it's Tor from Tumas Masa sounds like according to Rabbanan. So, right now we see how Rav Chisda answers it, that the whole source is in fact according to the Rabbanan, and the fact that, and that which it says in the source, Toun Shchita, is basically a reflection of the fact that you have, there are 4 simonim that are available to be shefted, and therefore if the mother is found to be a trefo, you still have the option of slaughtering the 2 neck organs of this fetus itself. Continuing in the Gemara, Ki Solek Rabbi Zera, Ashkeche Rabbi Asi, the Yosef v'ko'omar lei l'ha shmeitza. When Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Asi found Rabbi Zera sitting and saying this teaching. That's v'ko'omar lei l'ha shmeitza, and he said over this teaching, namely 4 simonim are available to be shechted: 2 of the mother and 2 of the vlad. Omar le yasher v'chein Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Asi, who had seen or heard Rabbi Zera saying this, Rabbi Asi says, that's very good, yasher, strength unto you, you're saying well, and v'chein Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan himself said like that. Well, if you emphasize that that's that Rabbi Yochanan also said like that, should we infer Michlal the Polig Ole Reish Rav Shimon Lakish? Should we assume that Reish Lakish disagrees? In other words, Reish Lakish would not hold from this analysis of Arba Simonim? So the Gemara now, simply in focusing on what's Reish Lakish's opinion regarding this concept, we don't see his response. However, Iko de Amri Misha Havishohile Vishosikle, that Misha Havishohi means delay, that when Reish Lakish would hear Rabbi Yochanan teach something that he didn't immediately agree with, he would ponder it, he would delay it. Misha Havishohi means delay or ponder the matter and not answer immediately. Vishosikle indicates silence, namely not answer immediately. And in the interim, being that Reish Lakish, before he responds, there's a gap in time. In the meantime, Rav Asi walked out, and hence he did not hear Reish Lakish's opinion. The Iko de Amri, another version of what happened, Mishta Havishosi, that Reish Lakish was taking a drink. He was drinking. And even though Rabbi Yochanan already said his halacha of Dalid Simonim, there are four neck organs available, while this was taking place, Reish Lakish was taking a drink. And before Reish Lakish finished his drink, Rav Asi walked out. So we never heard Reish Lakish's response. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, Afilu Ben. We saw Rav Shimon Shizuri say, even if it's 4 or 5 years old and it's grazing in the fields, it's considered as if it's already been shechted. In other words, this grazing animal, which happened to have in its past had been a ben pekua, is already considered shechted. That was Rav Shimon Shizuri in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama. He seems to be saying the same thing as the Tanakama. The Tanakama had said that the shechita of the mother covers the vlad, even if it happens to be a ben teisha chai. And that is in effect what Rav Shimon Shizuri is saying. Before we go further, let's just glance at the topic heading in the outside margin, where we've written nosei. According to both opinions, the fetus inside a mother, even though the fetus has reached full term pregnancy, it becomes allowed to be eaten by the fact that its mother was shechted. So both say that. My binai, what will the point of difference be between the two shitas? Shechita Midrabanan leben teisha chai shifres al gabi karka. The Gemara will speak about a rabbinic need for shechita, for this ben teisha chai that came part of a shechted mother, the slaughtered mother, and the fetus remained alive and scampered on the ground. Hifres al gabi karka. Midaraisa, according to both of these opinions, this ben teisha does not need shechita if you want to eat from it. Just bop it over the head. Is there a rabbinic need for shechita? So now, let us look in the Gemara. After the Gemara had raised the question that Rav Shimon Shizuri and the Tanakama seem to be saying the same thing, namely, that the shechita of the mother is a matir of the ben teisha chai, what's the difference? Omar of Kana, Hifri Sagabi Karka Iko Binayu, where this Ben Teisha Chai scampers on the ground. In other words, it stands up on the floor. Iko Binayu will be the point of difference. According to the Tanakama, there will be a need for Shechita Midrabanan. According to Rav Shimon Shizuri, no need. That we mention that there is a need for Shechita Midrabanan, Rashi explains, because if you don't shecht this ben teisha that scampered on the floor, people will think that you can eat it, because in the eyes of people, this ben teisha having walked around on the floor, or Hifrisagabi Karka stood up on the floor,
it looks like a regular animal. And they'll see you eating it without shechita. They'll think in general you can eat meat without slaughtering it. So the Rabbanan are concerned of this mistake arising. According to Shimon Shazuri, he does not worry about that. Continuing in the Gemara.
Omar Rav Mesharshia, L'divrei ha'omer choshishin l'zera ho'av. There is an opinion found later in the Masechta. Rashi mentions Hananya by name, and his opinion is in the context of the Parsha of Oysuv Espino, which says that one is not allowed to shecht a mother and her offspring on the same day. What about shechting a father animal and its offspring on the same day? Hananya says choshishin l'zera ha'av, that the father identity is of significance as well. So according to that opinion, the opinion of Hananya that holds choshishin l'zera ha'av, we now raise a question. Ben pakua habo al behema ma'al yisa. A ben pekua is this fetus that we've spent so many sugyas investigating, discussing. The ben pekua, this 9-month fetus that was found inside a slaughtered mother, and this ben pekua now develops, and it has relations with a regular animal, behema ma'al yisa, a full-fledged animal. Havlad ein loy takona. The offspring of this union has no solution, cannot be shechted. Rashi points out that Rav Mesharshia does not adopt the analysis we saw above of Arba Simonim, that a Ben Pekua has four, that the situation of a Ben Pekua involves four Simonim, two of the mother and two of the Ben Pekua itself. Being that Rav Mesharshia does not hold from that analysis, he just described a ben pakua, which, as far as he is concerned, has zero neck organs, mates with a regular behema. When we say it has zero neck organs, we're talking in halachic terms. Obviously, if it had no physical neck organs, it wouldn't be around to talk about. Nevertheless, it has physically the neck organs, but halachically speaking, it's been shechted because of the mother. So a ben pekua now itself has relations and produces offspring with a regular, full-fledged animal. The Gemara, Rav Mesharshia says the vlad has no takona, and that's because zero of the vlad, of the ben pekua, mating with two of the mother, the average of zero and two is one. That leaves you with an offspring that has, halachically speaking, one neck organ. But when it comes to behemoths, a singular neck organ creature doesn't lend itself to the rules of shechita. Being that shechita of animals, you have to slaughter two neck organs. This animal, the product of this union, has, halachically speaking, only one neck organ. Therefore, it has no shechita solution. As we go on in the Gemara, we see Roman numerals to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a 1, and a few lines later, there's a number 2 on the same line that is, there's a squiggle on the Ikod the Amri. Omar Abaye, Hakol Moidim. Namely, the Tanakama, who argues with Reb Shimon Shizuri, will agree, Bekolut ben Pekua, Shemuter. Even the Chachamim, who above, in the case of the Chiluk that the Gemara pointed out before in the Hifris Agabi Karka case, where the Rabbanan said there's a need for a rabbinic shechita so as to prevent any misunderstandings in general, they will concede that in the following case of Kolut Ben Pekua, Shemuter, what is this? You slaughtered an animal, found inside it a full-term 9-month pregnancy fetus, but the fetus was a freak. It didn't have split hooves. It was a kolot. the Rabbanan will agree you can eat it by bopping it over the head, namely without any formal shechita. Now, but did we not say that there was a need for a shechita the Rabbanan? And here you have a kolot ben pekua that scampers on the floor, and yet the Rabbanan or Moide doesn't need shechita. Well, why not? My taima, why is that? Answer, kol milsa, detmiya, all matters that are eyebrow raising. Tmiya means amazing. And finding a closed hoofed, a kolot, growing inside a kosher variety mother is an amazingly unusual thing. It's a real freak situation. And as such, midkar dechiri lo inshi, people will remember. So that people, when you see me, let us say, just bopping this, the ben pakua over the head and eating it without doing a shechita, in the case that the ben pakua was a kolot as well, that will remind people when they think about it that ben pakuas don't. That I won't confuse a case of a ben pakua like this with a regular animal. In other words, people, when they see me bopping over the head a ben pakua that continues to survive, and I'm eating it without doing formal shechita to it, they won't confuse it with a regular animal. People will remember that this is a ben pakua. And we know that the shita of the Chachamim is that a ben pakua, on a Torah level, does not need shechita. Here, people won't misconstrue things, and they realize that this is a ben pakua simply because it has this added feature that will help them remember, namely closed hoofs, even though it's found inside a kosher variety mother. Now, the Gemara goes on, Iko Diamri, another version, Amar Abaye HaKomodim, Bekolot Ben Kluta Ben Pakua Shemuter. Here we have an additional generation of freak. In other words, there's a kolut, young animal. Its mother was a kluta, had closed hooves as well, and you shechted the mother that was a kluta and found inside of the kluta mother a vlad that was kolut. Everyone will agree that it's mutter, that shemutter, meaning that you can eat it without doing shechita. My taima, why will everyone agree? Even the chachamim will say you don't need to have shechita here. My taima, trei tamihi midker dechiri inshi. Two amazing things. And here you've got a mother that's a kluta. You've got the offspring that is found inside this mother. Also a kolot. That's overwhelming. And people will not confuse my non-shechita of this kolot, ben kluta, as representing an allowance in general to eat without shechita. People will simply remember we'll remember what is correct. Omar Zi'iri, Omar Rabbi Hanina, Halacha Krib Shimon Shizuri. The Halacha follows him, and he said that even if the Vlad develops and it's 4 or 5 years old, you can eat it without Shechita. V'chein hoya Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Matir, Bivno, Ben Bino, Atsoif, Kol Hadoros. Rav Shimon Shizuri likewise will allow the son, the offspring of this Ben Pakua and its subsequent offspring until the end of time to not require any Shechita. In other words, once you have a fetus that doesn't need Shechita, the future generations that come from this will have that same characteristic of not needing shechita. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hu Mutter Uvno Oser. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Hanina and says that the first Ben Pakua is allowed. The shechita of its mother benefited it. However, the offspring of this ben pekua is forbidden. And it's safe to say that the offspring of this ben pekua did not experience any shechita. Ado Barchovu Havale Ben Pekua. Ado Barchovu had a Ben Pekua in his possession. The Nofal Duba Ole, that a duba, a bear, attacked it. And now you have this Ben Pekua that was attacked by a wolf, and it's not going to live anymore. Also the Kameder of Ashi. Homale zeal shachte, go and slaughter this ben pekua. It should be pointed out that Rashi explains this psak of saying go and shecht it. That's in accordance with the Rabbanon that hold that once it's hifris agabi karka, it needs its own shechita. So we have a ben pekua that was apparently walking around it, and at a certain point it was attacked by a wolf, and it's not going to live anymore. So Rav Ashi says you should hurry up and shecht it. Zil shechte. Omale. So the Ado Bar Chovu says now back to Rav Ashi. He raises a question. It lasts a few lines, and that's indicated by the long question marking. He says, Ho Omar Ziri, Omar V'chanina, Halocha Kufshim Shazuri. V'chein Hoya Rishim Shazuri, Matir Bivno, Uben Beno, Atsov Koladoros. Rishim Shazuri, in his leniency with regard to Ben Teisha Chais, he adds that so to its offspring and the offspring of its offspring until the end of time doesn't need shechita anymore. V'afilu Rabbi Yochanan lo komar elo beno. Rabbi Yochanan himself only said that there's a requirement of shechita on the offspring of the Ben Pekua. Aval ihu lo. But the animal itself, the Ben Pekua itself, does not need shechita, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who was machmir. If that's the case, so then why are you, namely Rav Ashi, telling me to shecht this ben pekua itself that was attacked by the wolf? It doesn't need shechita. Omar Lei, Rav Ashi answers, Rabbi Yochanan, the divrei Rav Shimon Shizuri ka'omar. Rabbi Yochanan was not reflecting his own opinion. He was simply citing or explaining what Rabbi Shimon Shazuri would hold. But, as far as Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion is concerned, if you have a ben teisha chai that scampered on the floor, as was the case over here, and it was subsequently attacked by a wolf, if you want to eat it, you're going to have to shecht it, a shechita midrabbanan. The Gemara now asks, there is a question that's of last several lines, indicated by the long question marking, the Omar Rovin Bar Chanina, Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Halocha Kerib Shimon Shizuri. The Halocha follows him. V'lo od, elo komokam shishon Rab Shimon Shizuri b'mishno senu halocha kamoso. Wherever his name appears in Mishnayos, the halacha shall follow him. Now, we had explained earlier that according to Reb Shimon Shazuri, as opposed to the Chachamim, there is no need for this Shechita Derabbanan on the Ben Pekua. That was the answer to the question of what's the difference between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon Shazuri. And we said that Hifris Agabi Karka Ika Binayu, and it came out that according to Reb Shimon Shazuri, there was no need for a rabbinic Shechita of a Ben Pekua that's Hifris Agabi Karka. And here we see that the halacha follows that ruling. And therefore, the question comes back on Rav Ashi, why in the case of the Ben Pekur that was attacked by the wolf, does it need any shechita whatsoever? Omale, Rav Ashi responds, Ano ki ha svira li. With regard to the quote you made that we will always follow Rav Shimon Shizuri's rulings, I have a different take on that. I hold like another opinion. The Omar Rav Yonasan Halacha of Shimon Shizuri b'mesukan v'chumas ma'aseh shel d'mai, that only in the area of these two areas, mesukan and chumas ma'aseh shel d'mai, there and only there we follow Rav Shimon Shizuri, but not regarding our topic of the Ben Pekua not needing Shechita. Rather, we will go like the Rabbanan, that there is a rabbinic need for Shechita of a Ben Pekua Shehifer Salgabi Karka, and hence I ruled the Ben Pekua that was attacked by the wolves. If you want to eat it, you shall do a Shechita, albeit a Shechita de Rabbanan, in order to matir it. At this point, we have introduced brackets from here to the bottom line, and these brackets are not for the purpose of skipping, certainly can't be, because right after this, on the top of the next omit, there appears a new Mishnah. But what we wanted to accomplish with these brackets is to show that the basic answer, Rav Ashi's basic answer, was stated, that the idea of following of Shimon Shizuri is limited to two areas, Mesukan and Shumas Maisa Shel Tamai. What the Gemara does now, it gives you the sources of these two halachas, in which you will see in both cases framed sections, and within the framed sections you'll see Rav Shimon Shizuri's name underlined, so that it's in these two areas that we follow him, but not in other areas, namely our Mishnah with the Ben Pekua. So here we now delve into the background. Mesukan, we have featured the two topics with diamonds, Mesukan, and later Trumas Meiser Shel Demai. The Gemara goes on. Mesukan, Disnan, the case of Mesukan is reflected in the following Tanaic source dealing with Hilchus Gittin. By way of introduction, when a man has decided to divorce his wife, he will instruct the necessary parties to write a get. He says, "Kisfu get liishti," and he's expected to say, "and give it to her, present it to her." If a person were to say, for example, only write a get, that does not indicate that the get is to be given to the woman. And if someone who is under, let's say, normal, healthy, non-harried circumstances says, write a get, and for whatever reason people, the scribe wrote the get and then gave it to the woman, she would not be divorced. There are some exceptions. And here we go. Disnan, Borishona hoyu omrim. Originally, it was said, Hayotze b'koylar, someone who is being taken out for a death penalty. He's being taken out to be killed by the authorities, and he is afraid that if he is killed, his wife will be left as an almona, a widow. And as a widow, she will have to do yibum. And yibum is marry his brother. And for whatever reason, he doesn't want yibum to set in. He preferred that she be a divorcee. Now he's on his way to being executed, and he says, "V'yomer kisfu get liishti, write a get. Hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. They shall write it and in fact present it to her." You'll ask, but he didn't say that. He said just write it. And we explained in our introduction that that's not sufficient. That's true under normal circumstances. However, where someone is so harried and befuddled and confused, a man about to be executed, he has many other things on his mind. The fact that he said write a get, he really meant write and give, and simply didn't articulate it. So we, based on the fact that he is under these harried circumstances, or confounding circumstances, we are able to not only write it, but give it to her as well. That being his true ratzon. And the fact he didn't articulate it is because of these circumstances. Chazru lomar af hamaforesh vayotze b'sheira. Not only a person being taken out to be executed that instructs write the get, but someone who is on his way to a journey overseas or on a caravan journey. People under circumstances like that are also harried and they don't have time to think out all the details, and therefore when they say write the get, their intention really is write and give it to her. Rav Shimon Shizuri Omer Af HaMesukan. Mesukan, someone who is dangerously ill. Someone who is very ill, and in his illness he says, write a get for my wife. The intention is write and give it to her as well. Trumas Meiser Shel Demai, Desnan. The issue involving Trumas Meiser of Demai is presented in the following Tanaic source. Before going further, just a word of introduction. Demai is a situation of one who acquires agricultural produce from a person who is not knowledgeable, who's an Amoretz, and there's a rabbinic ruling that when you get produce from Amoratzim, you're expected to tithe it on the grounds that it's possible that the Amoretz himself didn't do the tithes. Even though we say rov amaratzim maishumheim, that rov do remove the tithes, some don't, and the Rabbanan therefore imposed a rabbinic ruling that tithing must be done from stuff you get from an amoretz. In this case, we're talking about the trumas meiser of demai. Trumas meiser, a word about that. 10% of one's produce is taken off and is given to a levi. That's called meiser rishon. The Meiser Rishon itself has an additional tithe removed from it. In other words, under general circumstances, a Levi then takes off a percentage, 10% of the 10% he received, and gives that to a Kohen. Now, in the case of an Amoretz, we have reason to suspect that maybe he didn't take care of this. In other words, if he didn't remove the Meiser Rishon, so there's a latent Trumas Meiser in that. The source says, Trumas Meiser Shel Demai Shechozro Limakoma. If a person did the tithing that he was supposed to do because he bought it from the Amoretz, so he removed the Trumas Meiser on the grounds that the fellow who sold it to him did not do it. He doesn't know, of course, but that's the assumption. And then the Trumas Meiser fell back into a tithed produce. When it falls back in, it's now considered a mixture of Truma with Chulin. That's called Dimua. That's an expression. And Dimua is something that cannot be eaten if you don't have a 1 to 100 ratio. It cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen. So this would create a big loss. Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer, Af B'chol, not only on Shabbos, which the Tanakhama mentions. We don't see this in the words here, but according to the Tanakhama, if you ask the Amoretz that you bought the produce from, did you do the tithe in the first place? If you ask him on Shabbos, because of the significance of Shabbos, we work with the assumption that the Amoretz would not lie, and because of Oneg Shabbos, to provide for the enjoyment of Shabbos, and this is the only food you have available. So we have a leniency that we rely on the answer the Amoretz gives you. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, if he tells you he tithed it, you can continue eating, understanding that the Trumas Meiser that you removed was really unnecessary. When Motsoi Shabbos comes around, when Shabbos leaves, that very food that you had been eating, you can no longer eat. It's now, you don't have the benefit of Kovoid and Oineg Shabbos. According to Reb Shimon Shizuri, the source goes on, Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer, Af b'chol shayaloi v'oichloi al piv. Reb Shimon Shizuri has an added leniency that even if it's not Shabbos, you can ask the Amoretz, in the event that you have this situation where the demai tithe that you removed fell back in to the tithe produce, thereby making now the mixture being prohibited. So under such circumstances, you can ask the Amoretz, even if it's not Shabbos, and based on what he answers, if he says he did the tithing, then this mixture will be allowed. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.